absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 179 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today we will look at how spending time in different cultures changes your intercultural behavior, in particular, your strategies. People say that gaining intercultural experiences improves your transferable skills, your ability to adapt to new situations. However, getting in touch with other cultures may even change your personal preferences, conventions, and habits. Sometimes this process can even take place unconsciously, but it still changes your way of thinking dramatically. So should we start printing warning messages on travel brochures? Warning: this trip to France could seriously change your view of the world. And should we be worried about passive traveling? Because it's not just the person who went abroad who undergoes intercultural behavioral changes, but also the people in the culture they visited who are influenced by the foreigner's cultural behavior. Have you ever noticed serious changes in your own values and outlook on life after a longer stay abroad, or even in your own culture by exposure to people from different cultures? Please don't hesitate and share your experiences with us on our Facebook page, Absolutely Intercultural. Let us listen today to some enlightening stories from people with many different cultural backgrounds. So in our first category, Absolutely Up with People, I interviewed Brecken from the United States and Seamus from Canada. They are going to share some of their extensive intercultural experiences they have made while taking part in an international social project managed by a global education network named Up with People. Of course, sometimes the language barrier may present quite a challenge to worldwide exchanges and will produce new intercultural strategies in those who take part.
When I traveled to Taiwan with Up With People, I lived with a wonderful host family that didn't speak any English, and I didn't speak any Mandarin, which was the language they spoke in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. I had to use my hands a lot, and I had to point to things, and I had to...
In our second category, Absolutely Hands-On, I asked Seamus from Canada to tell us more about those intercultural social projects carried out by the volunteers of Up With People organization. Some of those projects for children seem to be literally hands-on.
And what we do is we draw the stem of the tree and the branches. And then we take the kids and we paint their hands. And their hands become the leaves of the tree.
In our third category, Absolutely Changed, I interviewed Antao from Brazil. He's going to tell us how over the years he has gradually changed from a typical Brazilian to a world citizen, and thinks that usually a fusion of different cultural influences produces a great effect, whether we talk about food, music, or simply life in general.
By being exposed to the African culture, he composed completely different songs. And by listening to those songs, you know it's not African, you know it's not American, but you like it.
And finally, in our last category, Absolutely Ambassador, I asked An and Za, both native Vietnamese, studying in Finland and doing their semester abroad in Germany now, if their extensive international experiences have made them into intercultural ambassadors.
When I was in Finland, I am the host of a program for that. I actually value my nationality identity more than when I was in Vietnam.
But now, let us start with the show. You are listening to Absolutely Intercultural, and my name is Laurent Borgmann. There are a number of well-known non-profit organizations who manage social and intercultural projects all over the world. I was lucky enough to get in touch with representatives of Up With People. This organization combines education, international travel, leadership and development, and art performances. all with the aim to bring the world together through service learning and music. In our first category, Absolutely Up With People, I asked Seamus and Brecken, who already took part in some of those organized intercultural projects, to explain how it all works.
Our group is actually 100 people from around 20 different countries, and we travel the world for either 6 months or a full year. And during that 6 months, we go to 3 different regions of the world. Those regions change every time. And so, like, last week we were in Belgium. The week before that, we were in Netherlands, then Germany, Ramsbach, Bombach. I cannot pronounce the name. I am so sorry. And then before that, we were in Mexico for 5 weeks. And then we were in the U.S. for 9 weeks around. And we do our staging every time in Denver. And so the cool thing about when we travel is we spend a lot of time in each city, about a week in each city. Actually, exactly 1 week. And as we stay in that city, we stay with local host families. Mm-hmm. Every time local host families, never in hotels, which is super cool because like you can actually understand the culture of the city. Mm-hmm. And you get to learn what's cool, what would be like the things that they do that are good, similar to what you do, and like what are completely different in their culture. So 1 week I was in a host family. And I was just washing my hands in the bathroom. And I noticed this picture of a man riding a bull.
A bull?
Yes, a bull. And I was like, this is, seems like a really cool picture. He was off the end of the bull, barely holding on, one hand holding a hat. It was really cool. So I walked out to my host dad and I asked, oh, where did you get that picture from? And he said, oh, that's me. I used to ride bulls. And I'm like, what? That's really cool. And his wife went, no, that's not. And there's really cool stories all over the world.
What was that? Why was he riding a bull?
Well, in the United States, there's things called rodeos.
Okay.
And he was a rodeo rider. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So in Seattle, I had something similar like that happen. I was walking down the stairs, and I noticed there was a lot of skydiving pictures. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are these from? And so I walked up to my host dad, and I asked, I'm like, do you skydive? And he's like, I love to. And then his wife's like... It's horrible. And I'm like, why? And she's like, he skydived into our wedding.
Okay.
So what he James Bonded into the wedding, skydived in and just took it off.
Of course, every region that you go to is going to be very different. But the goal is to show our gratitude because these host families open up their homes for us. We were able to live in their houses and sleep in their beds, and we're able to eat the food that they prepare for us. And then they're able to share their culture with us. For example, when I traveled to Taiwan with Up With People, I lived with a wonderful host family that didn't speak any English, and I didn't speak any Mandarin, which was the language they spoke in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. So I had to use my hands a lot, and I had to point to things, and we had to make our own language with body movements and with hand movements. Oh, and right. It actually became a very fun game to try and figure out how everybody's day was and what everybody did throughout the day.
Making gestures.
And there was
trying to explain.
Very much so. And there was one night where I was eating a food, and I of course, this is very different food than what I'm used to in the United States, and I'm eating it, and it is a little red square cake. I think it's a cake. So I take a bite and it's very chewy. And I said, oh, this is very different. And I tried to figure out what it was. And I started to taste it more. And I started to realize that it was actually a blood cake. It was a rice blood cake. Right. And so it was very different. Yes. And I realized that, okay, I can eat this and it is okay. And it is fine. And so lots of fun food experiences, things that you've never tried before. But I think at the end of that week, I ended up going to a black sand beach with them. And I had never been to a black sand beach.
Okay.
And we walked around all day together, laughing and enjoying the sun. And I remember after no English was spoken all week long, the last thing my host mom said to me before I left was, I love you. And she said it in English. She learned a part of my language. And I said, well, Ani, back to her, which means I love you in Mandarin. Okay. So we were able to share together.
As you can hear, being able to share your feelings in an intercultural project doesn't take lots of words. Brecken has just pointed out to us that it wasn't just herself who changed during the week in Taiwan, but also her host family, who were influenced by her 1 week stay in the new culture. Let's move on to our second category, Absolutely Hands-On. I asked Seamus to explain to us why their Up With People project in Mexico was kind of a challenge, and what the project illustrated with a tree of hope.
Mexico is definitely a challenge for a lot of us. Like, I speak very good French because I went to high school and grade school in French. I'm Canadian. And in Mexico, it becomes completely ridiculous to try to translate because I think, okay, this is what it means in Spanish. Then I go to French, and then I had to completely flip it to become English. And I'm trying to explain to my friends what's going on. And we do great community service in Mexico. So, like, we be painting, we do a tree. It's called a tree of hope. It's like, I've done one like 3 weeks ago. It was awesome. And what we do is we draw the stem of the tree and the branches. And then we take the kids and we paint their hands. And their hands become the leaves of the tree. And then in different languages, we write hope and different things like that. So I've done those in the middle of the city. I've done those in the middle of nowhere. And it's really incredible because one time I was just walking down the street and it got to a point where it was graffiti everywhere. And then it stopped. And I'm like, why did it stop? And then I walked a little farther and it was a tree of hope that we had done years ago that was still non-touched by all the graffiti around it, which was just really incredible to see.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of the community service we do is different wherever we go. So like we do these workshops called Take a Stand. We actually did one today. It was really cool. And I've done it with people from the ages of 13 to 49. I've done them with different countries. I've done them with different people. And every time it's so interesting.
Well, of course, as Seamus from Canada was talking about, we have a lot of volunteer works. We have a lot of outreach through community service. And of course, there's so many wonderful stories to choose from. And there was a time when I was in the Philippines with Up With People. And it was a day where we were able to go to one of the slums of the Philippines. It was called GK Paseco. And I'll remember going there and we get off the cars. They're called jeepneys. They're little makeshift cars. They don't really have roofs and they don't really have seatbelts. And I know that would not work in Germany because you guys wear your seatbelts really well. But yes, we ended up interacting with the kids and playing games with them. And then we wondered, well, can we clean up? Is there anything that we can maybe pick up the trash? And then we looked around and we realized everything was trash. We were on trash. The GK Paseco was made.
It was built from trash.
Built from trash, built on trash. Mm-hmm. Their playground was trash. Mm-hmm. You look to the side of you and you see kids that are playing in the trash and then others who are looking for their dinner. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, it's very humbling. And also it makes you very restless. Like, well, what can I do if I can't clean up the trash? That's what we do in Up With People. We help. We make areas better. We clean up. We make things better. But to see a third world country and to gain that knowledge that, oh, my gosh, this is really happening. You know, you see these commercials on TV. It says, call now if you want to help a child. You know, it's, you know, who's hungrier. But then you really see it in a third world country and you wonder.
If you clean up the trash, you're taking away the play tools from
the children. Yes, exactly. If I pick up a piece of trash, won't there be two other pieces of trash that replace it later with the way that it's working? And, of course, that was just very eye-opening and that's one of the most impacting experiences enough with people that I've had.
Wow. This is really eye-opening indeed. You can imagine the impact on young people who have joined the Up With People project and get confronted with such scenes in different cultures. Antao from Brazil has also gained a great number of intercultural experiences during his life. Like Brecken and Seamus, he noticed that some of those experiences will change you and have a lasting impact on your personal outlook on life. So in our third category, absolutely changed, I asked Antao why, after so many travels to different parts of the world, he does not really feel typically Brazilian any longer.
Being in touch with foreigners, like we are doing now, you kind of get something from your contacts that somehow change you.
Okay.
So because of that, I don't think we are a real Brazilian in the sense of a Brazilian that has never been outside Brazil, has never been exposed to other ideas, have never been exposed to different ways of doing things, of looking into things, of looking into problems, of trying to find solutions. So when you get exposed to different environments, you change. I think you change for the better. I would like to think that you change for the better, but you change. And because you change, I don't think you are no longer a true Brazilian.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But look at, for instance, that guy, Garfunkel, I think, is an American composer and singer. Mm-hmm. By being exposed to the African culture, he composed completely different songs. And by listening to those songs, you know it's not African, you know it's not American, but you like it. Mm-hmm. It's perhaps better than an African song or an American song. It's a new start. Something is different. It's, when you are in the crossroads, you cross one culture with another, becomes better. It's like having a kid from a mixed marriage.
Okay.
Usually the kid is much nicer, more beautiful, right?
Right.
Work. Brazilians, I think, tend to do things slowly. Mm-hmm. They take their time. Mm-hmm. They don't pay too much attention to time, to appointments. Europeans do, like, for instance, the way you run your trains. Mm-hmm. You cannot run a business efficiently unless you pick up some of these minor points mm-hmm. that you see when you go and see that really works. In order to work, it has to be this way. So you pick up a few things here and there, and then you import that into your culture, and you become better because of that.
Okay. So what could the Germans, what could the Europeans learn from South America?
One point that we could talk about is football. We don't have we now have football schools for kids. I don't think they work. Mm-hmm. Because football, you learn playing football by liking the game, by enjoying the game, right? If you could enjoy things more, as not considering things your work, but because you enjoy things,
okay.
enjoying doing things, perhaps.
So getting better because you like it so much and not so much because you want to be efficient?
That's right.
Okay.
You do things because you like it so much.
This summer, we are all looking at Brazil because of the soccer championship. So let us look out for this legendary Brazilian enjoyment factor and try to integrate it into our daily lives a little more, at least for this summer. However, sometimes when your character or your behavior has changed after a longer stay abroad, in touch with several different cultures, you remember and even appreciate the benefits of your original culture even more. So in our last category, Absolutely Ambassador, let's listen to An and Sa, both native Vietnamese, studying in Finland and spending their semester abroad in Germany. They will tell us what exactly has caused intercultural change and why. In various situations, they have adopted the role of an intercultural ambassador.
Actually, I can see that I'm being a bit less Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. Because this thing I can see very clearly, the last time I went back to Vietnam for vacation, there's certainly some changes in my character, and my friend and my family, they say that, okay, you change a bit.
Oh, okay. Did they give you an example how you have changed by being abroad?
Well, it's one good example is my tolerance for certain things.
Oh, okay.
Yes, for example, when I was in Vietnam, like several years ago, still a high school student, I took traffic jam as something very evident, something that it has to happen sometime,
yes.
and you just can't do anything about it. It's
every,
a normal.
Everyday normality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Traffic jams is something you can't avoid. Mm-hmm. But the last time I was in Vietnam for vacation, it got on my nerve a lot. Because people, they just, you know, they lazing around, they start to honk and they start talking too much. And I say, Mom, can I just walk back home?
Okay.
Because
it was getting on your nerves.
Yeah, it was getting on my nerve. I couldn't stand it.
For example, when I was in Finland, I start celebrating a lot of festivals that I don't actually pay a lot of attention when I were in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I was in Vietnam. And
would these be religious things or Vietnamese
traditional? Yeah, just Vietnamese traditional things. Like, I don't pay much attention to that. Like, for example, Mid-Autumn Festival.
Ah, we have that. Yes.
Yeah, so during this Mid-Autumn Festival, actually there is a tendency that people would go out and celebrate, but for me at that time, I would just stay inside and meddle with my computer. But
now that you are abroad, you remember that there is something like that.
Yeah, exactly. When I was in Finland, I am the host of a program for that, I actually value my nationality identity more than when I was in Vietnam.
Right. Is that because you take on the role as an ambassador, or do you think that this is what people expect you to do, or is it your own inner urge that makes you celebrate things which didn't even play an important role before?
I think it's kind of similar to what you said. I think there are two reasons for this. First thing is that we want to show all the people who are Vietnamese, who Vietnamese are, our festival, and then we bring a bit of our culture to their culture.
Oh, okay.
And the second thing is that we want to get a bit closer to our home. Because by doing so, by doing the same thing that our family is currently doing in Vietnam, we can a bit feel that, okay, we are a bit closer now.
Is there anything where you would say, I've learned this in another country, but now it helps me in all the other countries? So when I leave Vietnam, I actually need to change my ways a little bit to be successful in another country?
Well, I guess the first thing, the most major thing that I have learned is the way of being directly to the problem. Because as you know, Vietnam is a polychronic culture and we have a tendency to beat around the bush and go in an indirect and an informal way before we actually go into the problem.
Okay.
For example, if in Vietnam we tend not to say no, like for example, if my friend Xa asked me to do a work for her and I would not say no to her because that's a way of impoliteness. I'd say like, okay, let me see about it.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow I'll help you, or I've got a job to go. I'll return to you sometime later on and let's discuss about that.
So let us not beat about the bush. This is the end of the show. We heard a lot about a non-profit organization called Up With People. Brecken and Seamus from the US and Canada took part in several of those organized intercultural community projects. They have shown us how social projects are run and which intercultural issues the participants have to struggle with during their stays abroad. They pointed out that it's not just yourself who changes your habits after your stay abroad, but also the inhabitants of the culture you visited can be influenced by your stay in their country. Antao from Brazil has explained to us how people are changed by intercultural encounters and why after years of intercultural exchange, he doesn't feel like a typical Brazilian any longer. Finally, Zha and An from Vietnam have explained why and how they have changed abroad and how they found themselves in the role of an intercultural ambassador. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please check out our website absolutely-intercultural.com to get more information about this and previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 4th of July. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.